Okay. All right. Well, as I was listening to the opening by Christine and worship, you would have thought that we spent some time this week communicating with one another about what we were going to discuss and what we were going to sing, because both of them are right there into my sermon. So that's good. And I received that from the Lord as confirmation that we are headed in the right direction and that He has a word for us. As I promised, I didn't stray from part two of the sermon that I had last week. And so we're going to stay in the book of John. And we'll go a couple of other places as well. But let's pray and we'll jump right into this. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and for your compassion. We thank you for this fellowship. We thank you for the opportunity that you give us to be able to sit at your feet and be taught by you. Because it is the Holy Spirit, Lord God, that teaches us all truth, that leads us into righteousness, that conforms us into your image. Bless us and keep us. May the words that are spoken, Lord God, be from you. May they be powerful. May they stir up our hearts and minds and help us to move in the right direction. Give us courage. Give us boldness. Give us faith. Give us encouragement. We thank you for what you're doing, and we thank you for what you're going to do. Use me. Use us all. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as I said before, they kind of touch right on where I'm going to go today. Christine talked about how God sees us. And we looked at that last week when Jesus was walking with his disciples and they came across a man that was born blind. He saw him. And that's something that we all should take comfort in, because sometimes we feel alone. Sometimes we feel isolated. Sometimes we feel like if there is a God, he doesn't really care much about me, because if he did, then my life wouldn't be the way that it is. We've all been there. You may not be there now. It may be hard to hear. It may be hard to admit to yourself, but we've all been there. And so today, God gave me a powerful message, actually a few weeks ago, and I was reading through the book of John. Whenever I want some encouragement from the Lord, I read the book of John, because John was one of Jesus' closest companions. He was the inner circle. Peter, James, and John was part of Jesus' inner circle, and they got to experience Jesus in a way like no other. They got to physically see him in his glorified state. They got certain teachings about who God really is. And so I go to the book of John often, and because sometimes I think we detach the Bible from its actual purpose. And one of the major purposes of the Bible, obviously, was to reveal who Jesus was. But do you ever take a second to think about why Jesus even came to earth? Why he came to earth? He came to earth, obviously, to die for us, yes, to give us eternal life. But there was a secondary purpose in Jesus coming to earth, and that purpose was to reveal who God was to us. There was this disconnection. There's this disconnection sometimes from those who lead us and how God actually leads us. Especially if you have any issues with your parents or your father or maybe preachers or any leader in your life who hasn't treated you the right way. Sometimes we can put God and Jesus into that same category, and we think that they interact with us like they do. But God is so much higher. His ways and his thoughts are so much better. And he never does anything wrong. And so when I read the gospel, what I'm seeing is a picture of who sits on the throne right now. God is the same, and he will always be the same. He hasn't changed from the person who he was in the beginning of the text, and he won't change in the end. And when we get to meet him, he will be that same person. He doesn't change like we do. And so as we look at John chapter 10 today, and we take a snapshot and a look at who God is, he's the good shepherd. I want you to really, really Connect with God. Connect with Jesus. Don't connect with me. Listen to what I'm saying, but really take an opportunity to connect with the Creator today. And so last week we covered a couple points. I want to go over the points that we covered last week because some of you weren't here and you may not have had a chance to listen. And so the first thing that we looked at is Jesus sees us. Christine already covered that pretty well in the opening, but He sees us. He understands everything about you. All your good, all your bad, all the gray areas. He sees it all. He knows it all. That's one thing that I love about Jesus. Have you ever done something like maybe wrecked your parents' car? One day I was driving down the street and I literally wasn't supposed to be driving. My grandfather told me to move the car. And I decided to take a little joyride and I drove. It was right around the corner from here on Smith Street. And I drove down Smith Street. I was about 15 years old. I was like, ooh, this is fun. And then I came back up the street and my grandfather was outside. And then I was so distracted by him being outside that I ran the car literally into the garage and broke it. Like the current garage door on my grandparents' house is because of me, which we needed one because we had the old school one that we had to lift up before they had the overhead doors, you know. And so God sees it all. He's not surprised. My grandfather, I said, Granddad, what were you thinking? He's like, I was surprised, son. I couldn't believe that you would take my car like that. Well, thank God. God is not surprised by the decisions that you make. Isn't that good? He already knows what's going to happen. And the great thing about God is that not only does He already know, He already has a plan in place to get you to where you need to get, even when you go astray. And we're going to read today a little bit about sheep. And that's what sheep do. When I was in Iraq, there were sheep and goat everywhere. And, I mean, they didn't bother anybody. They were just nasty and dirty. And they bumped into you and they just went astray like they did. That's why they need a shepherd. And God uses the example of a shepherd throughout Scripture. And we're going to look at it a little more closely today. But He sees us. He understands everything about us. He's not surprised. The other thing we looked at is impossible circumstances are an opportunity for the works of God to be revealed. How many of you have been in some impossible circumstances lately? Just straight impossible. Man, I'm telling you what, I have been, and some people who've been kind of sharing their lives with me, they've been in some what seems to be impossible. And if you aren't right now, generally you're going to be moving into an impossible circumstance. Something that just seems like, oh man, this is the end of the world. Or something that just seems like there's nothing that anybody can do. Well, this is an opportunity for God to reveal His works. Well, that was the second thing that we covered last week. Because when they looked at the poor blind man who had been born since he was blind, they thought it was because of sin. But Jesus said, no. It is so that the works of God would be revealed in him. So that was the second thing that we looked at. All right, third thing we looked at was that Jesus is the light of the world. And this is all in John chapter 9. It's kind of a long chapter, so if you want to go back, you don't know what to read during your devotional time this week. John chapter 9, it's a good chapter. And so Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. All right? Light drives out darkness. Without light, we wouldn't see anything. In John chapter 1, Jesus said that He is the light of the world and He is the light of men. He is the light of life. So literally, He reveals all things to all people. And the question is that I pose to you today is that in your circumstances, are you looking at it the way that Jesus wants you to look at your circumstances? Or are you looking at it just from a temporary standpoint? Because we're all eternal beings. Everybody in here, you will live forever. You're going to live forever. We just don't know where you're going to live forever. Whether you're going to be in the presence of God or you're going to be separate from God. That we don't know yet. And finally, Jesus is not bound by human traditions. Jesus healed that poor blind man on the Sabbath day. and human tradition said that no one should be healed on Sabbath day. There should be no anointing or kneading of clay or any of these things on the Sabbath day. But one of my favorite things about Jesus is Jesus will what? He'll do it anyway. He doesn't care about procedures. If it's not covered in His laws that He wrote, He doesn't care about that. God can elevate you at any time. You can go from being poor to rich. You can go from being sick to well. You can go from being alone to surrounded by those you love in the blink of an eye because God said so. He's in control. He has the authority to do it. So those are the things that we looked at last week. And so I want to kind of get into a few things this week of going into chapter 10. Chapter 10 is a little bit heavy. If there's one goal that I have for this message for you today, is that you would leave here with confidence. That you would leave here with confidence. That you would leave here with faith. That you would leave here feeling secure that God has a place for you. He has a place for you in His kingdom. The song talked about, in my Father's house, there's a place for me. And I want you to know that there's a place for you in God's kingdom. So the religious leaders of Jesus' time, before we get into chapter 10, I want to kind of draw a picture. Because right here, let's go to John chapter 10 real quick. Let's read it so I can kind of give you some context of where we're at. All right. This is directly following Jesus healing the blind man. Blind man goes. Jesus spits on the ground. He creates some clay. He puts it on his eyes. He tells the blind man to go wash in the pool of Siloam. He goes and washes in the pool of Siloam. He comes back. He can see. He goes to the Pharisees. Those are the religious leaders of the time. They're like shepherds. They're like leaders. They are the leaders. They say, how is it that you are able to see? He said, a man named Jesus put clay on my eyes, told me to go wash. Now I can see. They didn't believe that what Jesus did was the works of God because He violated their laws. He violated their principles. So they go and get the blind man's parents. Go get your parents. Is this your son? Is this the one who was born blind? The parents acknowledge, surely this is our son. And they ask the parents, how is it that he is able to see? It's like, we don't know how he's able to see, but this is our son. Ask him. The parents were afraid of being expelled and ostracized and put out of the fellowship of the Jews. And so they brought the man back in to the Pharisees, the leaders of the time. And they asked them, explain to us one more time how it is that you are able to see. And he said, why do you ask me this again? Why are you asking me again how I can see? I already told you. And then we're going to come on down to verse 35. They kicked the man out of the church. I pointed out last week that sometimes when you go through the transformation that God wants you to go through, that some of the people who were around you, they're not going to stay around you. You're going to lose some of them. As you become more and more like Christ, those people who you thought you would be able to celebrate with, those people that you thought would be your closest allies, don't be surprised. It could be your mother. It could be your father. It could be your brother. It could be your sister. It could be your spouse. It could be your child. When you begin to follow Christ, some of those who you thought would be there and who would celebrate it, they won't be there. Don't be surprised. Some of your friends that you had last year won't be your friend. Where are young ladies who are about to get baptized? Where are you at? I love you, and I'm so glad that you made that decision. But I'm telling you right now, there's going to be some people who don't like it. It's not really them, though. I do want to explain to them that it's really not them. It's forces of darkness that are working through them and in them and plucking them and whispering little things in their ears. They're going to I'm telling you, just mark my words. So when it happens, you can be like, man, that bald guy was right. You know what I'm saying? Okay? It's going to happen. And so this is where we are right now. And Jesus goes and finds the man who had just been kicked out of the church. And he comes to him because even though he had restored his sight, he still didn't know who Christ was. You can come to church and be blessed. You can be healed. You can receive the benefits of coming to church, but it doesn't mean that you are actually a part of the faith. And we can see that right here in verse 35. Let's look up at verse 35 real quick before we go on to chapter 10. So Jesus heard that they had cast him out, verse 35. John chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" This is the poor blind man. He's asking the poor blind man. He's not blind anymore. But do you believe in the Son of God? I'm going to pose that question to you this morning. Do you believe in the Son of God? Because if you do, it's not Andre up here talking to you right now. These are words that were transferred through the Holy Spirit to a man to write on a piece of paper. And there's something that's going to come out of this message that Jesus is about to give to you. It says, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Listen to what's happening right here. You have two, Jesus is contrasting two different types of people. One group of people, there's really only two different types of people in the world. Really. Not black and white. Isn't that funny how they always say black and white? My skin ain't black, it's brown. But anyway, you know, so you always contrast between the, but there's really only two people, those who are alive and those who are dead. Spiritually, that is. You have those who are alive and those who are dead. You have those who are still sleeping and you have those who are awake. You have those who have been found and you have those who are lost. You have those who can see and those who are blind. There's really only two camps of people. And so Jesus right now is kind of comparing and contrasting, and he's giving us some insight. Because they just watched this man that was born blind be healed. Look at their response was, "Oh, Jesus, he's evil because he's healing on the Sabbath." They're blind. They can't see. Even though God is revealing the works of God, you know what? Let me go to Romans on y'all. Romans chapter 1. Turn to Romans chapter 1 with me. It's the book right after John. Actually, after Acts. Sorry. Right after Acts. Go to Romans chapter 1. It's so interesting that Jesus came. You know that it's a heart issue. This is the thing. Like, for those of you who are like about to take this step and begin trying to like, look, let me give you something. I got to talk to the new believers because the new believers are the ones who are on fire. So I'm going to talk to them a little bit more today. Okay? Because us older people who've been walking with Jesus for a while, we kind of go in and out of fire. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. But hopefully you all are on fire. Look at me now. Look at me. Okay, one of your number one assignments being a new believer is to allow God's light to shine through you so that other people ask and be like, "Hey, like, why did you do that? Or why did you say that? Or why did you handle that situation like this?" And then that gives you an opportunity to introduce them to Jesus. Gives you an opportunity. I know that sounds scary, but it's okay because, like, if you allow Jesus to do it, he'll do it for you. It really works. I'm telling you, it's crazy. Because when someone first started telling me that, "Hey, because you're a Christian, you're kind of supposed to like introduce other people to Jesus," I was like, "Oh, you know," especially at your age, you know, like, "Oh no." But he'll give you the words to say, okay? And so, but this is the thing that I want you to realize. I want to encourage you. Some people will never believe in Jesus. I know, like, that's a hard one for a lot of. Some people will never believe in Jesus. Never. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you say. You know how I know? Because it was people who saw Jesus do the works that could not be explained by any earthly thing. And they still didn't believe in it. They didn't believe. These people watched him heal somebody. They watched him raise people from the dead. They saw him, that he walked on water. He got up. He died. He got up. It's still people who don't believe. Some people will never believe. It's a heart issue. It's a heart. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, they followed all of these rules, but they didn't believe in the one who sent them. They didn't believe in Christ. They didn't believe that he was the author and the finisher of their faith. But this man right here, listen, watch closely. Let's go back to Romans 1 real quick. It's interesting because you're going to have this thing. If you don't believe in Jesus, by the time you go, you're going to hell. Period. I know people don't like hearing it. See, she did it. She did it. She did it, you know what I'm saying? Because people don't like hearing that. We don't hear that in 2019 too much anymore. I'm here to tell you, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. I'm telling you. You know? And they used to scare us into like kind of believing as kids, you know? But I was afraid, but that's not what drew me to Jesus. It was something else. It was something else about what the preacher was saying and what I was reading in the text. I'm like, man, that's true, wasn't it? For those of you who are sad, you know what I'm talking about. It's something about the Scripture is that when the Scripture is being preached or when you're reading it or when you're just even just praying, it's a fellowship. It's a connection. You feel it. It's truth in your bones. Guess what? Some people would never have that. But there are those who will who haven't received it yet. And we don't know the difference between those who will receive it and those who never will. So it's our job to make sure that we're living it out and that we're encouraging them. And not to get discouraged when they look at you like you're crazy. Don't get discouraged. Because listen to this. This is what God says in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. And see, he has me going through this preaching phase in life where I'm using all of this Scripture to like reach the audience. I used to like telling stories and being funny and like, you know, entertaining people. That, you know, it felt good, right? But God is like, no, let my word speak. So he's been just having me in this place in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through something. He wanted me to share this with you. I don't know who this is for. Let's start there, verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now, you don't have to understand what all of that means right now, but I am going to kind of go through it slowly. Sometimes you got to go back and read stuff over and over again in order to get the full meaning of it, and that's okay. But this is what I really wanted to highlight in verse 19. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. Some people will say to you, God hasn't revealed himself to me because I've said it before, so therefore God ain't real. I have kids who question me all the time when I was teaching at Horizon. They question me, how do you know God is real? He revealed it to me. Well, prove it to me. He revealed it in me. That's where he revealed it in you, right? He revealed it in you. He's like, hey, I'm real. He's like, oh, man. So when people try to get you to explain how you know he's real, you ain't even got to get into all of these philosophical arguments. You can just hit them with the, I once was blind, but now I see. You know, because for real, it's really something that happens in the heart of a man. It's something that happens in the heart of a person. He says, because what may be known of God is manifest. That means made, it's revealed. It's what was invisible now has become invisible. What was once intangible has now become tangible inside of them, for God has shown it to them. Every person on earth has had that opportunity to receive Jesus. Some people are like, oh man, they ain't even heard the message. I ain't talking about the message yet. I'm talking about general revelation. General revelation is those who understand that there is a God. Special revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. God has revealed to every man and woman, boy and girl on earth that there is a God. And this is how he did it. Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. I didn't say it. It says it right here. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So in science class, ladies, when you're in science, all you're studying is proof that God is real. They're going to tell you about evolution. It don't matter. It don't matter. Evolution doesn't violate biblical principles. I ain't going to go there today, but I'm telling you, it doesn't. Trust me. God is God, man. He's powerful. I'm telling you, all the things that are created manifest that God is real. But this is what I want to get to, though. For since the creation, verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. When you go outside and you look up at the stars and you look up at the sky, or you go to these beautiful places around the world, and you understand the majesty, the power, the intelligence, the all-knowing knowledge and power of the... If there was a person that created that, God. Why are you telling me this, Andre? She said, in my Father's house, there's a place for me. Right there, there's a place for you. There's a place for you in God's house. Okay? There's a place for you in God's house, and you can enter into the place right now. You can't enter into it in the spiritual realm, in the fullness of it, as you will in the end times, but there's a place for you right now. It don't matter what your circumstances are. It don't matter what you face. As a husband, a godly husband, I mean, you're going to be faced with trials and tribulations that you can't even imagine. You can't even imagine some of the things that you're going to be faced with. It's going to be decisions. It's going to be people who come into you. And you're going to have to know, my brother, that God has a place for you. Have you ever been away from home? When you first left home, and it kind of felt like you were flapping a little bit, unless you knew that you can come back to your parents' house. See, me, I couldn't go back to my... I didn't think I could go back to my mama's house, because I gave my mama the blues. And so it was one of those, I turned 18, you got to get on out of here. And so, since I was 17 years old, I've been going hard. It's just been me and God out here. And my wife, you know, when we got married, it changed, you know, but... You know, me, her, and God now. But since I was 17 years old, I've been out here. But it's not like that in the kingdom. There's a place for you. God has a place of safety. That's what we're going to look at today. He has a place of provision. He has a place of peace. He has a place of rest. And someday, mark my words, you're not even going to be able to feel rest in your own house. Am I telling the truth, brother? But I want you to know that He has a place for you. He has a place for you. Keith, know what I'm talking about. Keith, how long you been married, Keith? Keith, how long you been married, Keith? 53 years. I ain't even been on earth 53 years. Yeah, give him some for that. How many you married?
Yeah, next year
will
be 60.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 60 years. I'm telling you, young people, just every now and again, young couples, just stop by and get a little bit of wisdom from them. I asked my grandfather years before he passed, I said, how is it that you live with my grandmama? I love my grandmama, but she rough. She was rough. You know, she just had high standards, you know, for all of us. And sometimes I just hear my grandmother fussing, and I'll be thinking in my mind, like, Grandma, I wouldn't take that. You know, I wouldn't. You the man. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't take that. And my grandfather, this is for free. You can charge. I'm not even going to charge you for this wisdom. My grandfather gave me some great wisdom. He said, son, I realize that she means me no harm. I'm like, Don't seem like that's the truth. He said, realize a long time ago, she don't mean me no harm, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, granddad. And I didn't understand, but I'm understanding it more and more and more as I get older. And so that was free. I kind of got off track to explain to you that there's a place. This is what all of this is about. The one who created this universe, he created a specific place, not in terms of like physicality in the third dimension. I'm talking about higher than that, in the midst of the struggle. God has created a place for you. He's a good shepherd. Matter of fact, this is how you get there. Verse 20 again. It says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. That's the problem. That's the problem. You can know God, but not glorify Him as God. Keep that in mind. You can know Him, but not glorify Him as God. Nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. So if you're not glorifying God, you're not thanking God. You're not thanking God. You're not glorifying God. You're not even retaining Him in your mind. You can't enter into the place. All right, done. Sermon over. Seriously, because you can eat on that all day. If you're thanking God, you're glorifying God, and you're keeping Him in the forefront of your mind, you enter into... Man, I'm telling you. It says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So you got two people. Two types of people, that's it. Not black, white, blue, green. You really have dead or alive. Yeah. Blind or they can see. Lost or found. Those are the two. Two types of people. I don't care what your title is. It's preachers that's not saved. Listen, I'm telling you, this is very important. There's false teachers in the world, and false teachers are not Christians. Some of them are on TV. I'm telling you, like, some of the false teachers are on TV. Some of them are popular. There's false teachers. They're wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. How do we know? Oh, Jesus gave me a verse for you to tell the difference. Ezekiel 34. Like, oh, we don't go to Ezekiel very often. Let's go to Ezekiel. You're going to go back to the Old Testament. It's kind of near the middle, end, middle. Ezekiel 34. See, I'm on track. I'm on track. Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. Because you have good leaders, and you have not good leaders. And then you have Jesus. And Jesus is above all, even all the good leaders in your life. No. You have Jesus, and then you have everyone else. All right? If at any point in time in Fairhaven's future you decide to add a pastor to your leadership team, go to Ezekiel 34 and see what the Spirit has to say about this man or woman. Yes? I'm just a guy. All right? Jesus sent me as a guy. Ezekiel 34. Let's look at this. Man, he got some strong words. We're going to read 16 verses. We're not going to run through it too fast. I didn't come to entertain you. I came to be taught, even of the Lord. He's still teaching me right now. And the word of God came to me. This is Ezekiel. He was a prophet. God revealed truth to him. And oh man, watch this truth. And for those of you who are part of God's flock already, you're going to feel it in your spirit. You're going to see the truth in Ezekiel 34. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord to the shepherds. This is heavy. And this, right now he's talking about the shepherds of Israel, but this is shepherds all across the world. Leaders, political leaders, spiritual leaders, church leaders, family leaders, mamas, daddies. This is what he has to say. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. You can always tell a shepherd that's evil or who's gone astray because they're more concerned about themselves than the sheep. Telling you, hit me square in the middle of my forehead. Trust me. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Let's keep going. Verse 3. You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with wool. You slaughter the fatlings. You do not feed the flock. But you do not feed the flock. Verse 4. The weak you have not strengthened. This is the bar that we need to set for the shepherds. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away. Man, where were the shepherds? Nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord, surely because my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. And I will deliver my flock from their mouths, and they may no longer be food for them. For thus says the Lord God. This ain't for you young people, this is for the shepherds. Indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. God said, I'm going to do it myself. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. God said he's going to bring us in. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture. And their fold, remember that word fold, their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold, there's that word fold again, and feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back that was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen the sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. So I read all of that to let you know. Now you know where it's at. When you want to see what's going on, first of all, there's only one true shepherd, and that's Christ. Any man, woman, child, boy, girl, mama, daddy, I'm telling you, if they're not under him, if they don't talk about him, they ain't the one. False shepherd. You got to keep your eye on them. Little ladies, you searching for a man later on in life. Husband, if he don't know Jesus, he ain't good for you. I'm telling you, this is why. Because if he doesn't know how to come under the power of God, he's not going to know how to treat you. He's not going to know how to apologize when he's wrong, because he's going to be wrong a lot. He's not going to know how to surrender, you know what I'm saying, to anyone or anything, because only man, a real man, really a true man, we can only surrender to somebody like Christ. Yes? I'm a hard-headed joker. You know what I'm saying? She can tell you. If it ain't Jesus, I'm not surrendering. She can tell you. You know what I'm saying? But because Jesus has said, surrender, I can surrender. Use this as a guide and a test for those who are teaching you the word, for those who try to become your friends, for those who are trying to lead you somewhere. This is a test. Do they care about themselves or do they care about sheep? All right. I went all the way back to Ezekiel to go back to John chapter 10. Okay. John chapter 10. I had to provide a little bit of context because all up until this point in time, Israel, the people of God, were being led by a few good shepherds, but most of them weren't good. They were prideful. And the men who were there, when that man who was born blind, when he was healed, and they called it evil, that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Can't be saved. They can't be saved. It's a heart issue that we're looking at. Look at this. Verse 1, chapter 10. Now we're about to get in this and we're going to get out of here. Oh, my Lord, my God. Most assuredly, I say to you, in the Greek it says, amen, amen. I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. God knows all of your names in here. He knows you intimately. He says, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he hears, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke of. I love Jesus because Jesus, here he's using a parable. He's using a metaphor to explain a spiritual truth. Sheepfold. I didn't know what a sheepfold was until not too long ago, this week. And so I want to show you a picture of a sheepfold, alright? Where you at? Come on up here. Speak. Mike, go to that picture for me. Let me show you a picture of the sheepfold. Alright? I didn't use it enough. It's okay. It's okay to take breaks sometimes. You need a little break. Let it download. You know? Because a lot of the stuff I'm saying is really still buffering in the brain. Alright, bink, there it is. That's a sheepfold. That's the sheepfold. And so, what used to happen was, in ancient, you know, and I watched some of the shepherds when I was in Iraq, and they had a stick, and they used to, and it was interesting. But the sheep were so peaceful. They didn't have to beat the sheep. The sheep followed them. They used to make these little noises, like, they used to like do this little noise, the shepherds did, and the sheep knew his voice. And they've tested this already. Like, if you ever make it over to the Middle East and you go out there and you just kind of want to spend some time with some shepherds, there's a lot of pastors that do this to kind of get a feel for what it's like to actually lead sheep. And so they spend time with the shepherds, they sleep with them, they walk with them, they do all of these things. And so they tested this theory that if the pastor or the leader tried to make the same sound as the sheep, as the shepherd, the sheep wouldn't listen. They would just lay there, or they would just walk around. All right. But as soon as the shepherd got up and he started making this little sound, all the sheep would start kind of following him. It was amazing, you know, as I was studying this thing. And then they created these sheep folds. This is called a sheep fold. And it was made of rock, big rocks and like little itty bitty rocks and like mud. And they kind of put it in there. It was to protect them from beasts and from robbers. Right? And as you can see, there's like sharp rocks up top, and oftentimes they would weave thorns through and thistles around the top rock. So even if a robber decided to come over the top, that he was going to get something coming up out of here. As you can see that there's an opening right here in the sheepfold, yes? And like more rich folks, they actually had like a door in a lock. But most shepherds couldn't afford that, you know. And so they had this opening right there. And the shepherd would actually lay there at night. He would lay there in the middle of the door. So that way, if the sheep tried to go, He would know if he fell asleep. But we know we don't fall asleep at work, do we, right? But he would lay right there in that door. And inside of the fold was protection. They could rest. They could find peace. All right, from a long day's walk. They could find restoration. Right now, you're in a sheepfold. You don't know it, but you are. You're in a sheepfold right now. You're surrounded by godly men and women who've been through the fire, yes? Who've been through the good and the bad. Who once were blind, but now they see. You're in this sheepfold. And as sheep, we want to get outside of the sheepfold because the food is not in there. The food is out here, yeah? But let's read a little bit more. Let's go back to verse 1. It says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." What is the sheepfold? It's spiritual. The sheepfold is the kingdom of God. It's the people of God. It's the presence of God. There's always going to be robbers and thieves that try to steal you out of that presence. Remember, the whole point of today is confidence. I want you to leave today. If there's one thing that I want to accomplish on today, is I want you to leave here with confidence that God has prepared a place for you. He has shielded you. You can't see it. Remember, this is a metaphor. This is a symbolism that God, He has created a place of rest for you. And it's not just heaven. There's a place now that you have access to. And there will always be thieves and robbers wherever there's things of value. There's something very valuable right now in your life. It could be a job. It could be a relationship. It could be an opportunity that God has in front of you. Thieves, there's a difference between thieves and robbers. Yes? This truth is getting so deep now. There's a difference between thieves and robbers. Thieves, they devise plans to take something secretly. Yes? They take it behind the scenes. They take it when you're not looking. They take it while you focus on all of this stuff. There are thieves around here that are trying to steal your joy. There are thieves that are trying to steal your peace. There are thieves that are trying to wreck your relationship. But remember, they are demonic forces. They are spiritual forces of darkness. You don't war against flesh and blood. It may look like a person. It may look like a circumstance. But the thieves, they come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the thieves come to do. But then there are robbers. And see, there's a difference between thieves and robbers. I want you to be able to see these demonic forces. I know some of you are afraid of, like, you know, getting into this whole, like, demons thing, right? But I got to talk about it, right? Got to talk about it. Demons are real. They're real. Young people, real. And if you, like, come in tune with the things of the Spirit, you'll begin to experience it. Certain music you listen to, demonic. Demonic. Popular, too. Certain places we go, demonic, controlled by demons. Those are the thieves. They try to steal away God's plan for your life. They try to steal, remember, your peace, your joy, your patience, the destiny that God has set before you. Try to steal it. Robbers, on the other hand, they devise plans as well, but they don't come quietly. They come with force. Yes? There's some robbers too. There's some demons out here that's coming with force. You see them coming, they make themselves known. Those are those big, huge things when your life just seems to just like start tumbling and crashing down. And you like forget that God has a place for me. We forget that He has a place for us when the robber come, right? When the thieves come, we be sleeping, we wake up, and it's like, what happened? But when the robber comes, things are shaking. Things are shaking. But get this, God, He knows you. He knows you by name. Man, think about this. He created the universe. I can close this thing out right now, but I'm not. You know why? Because God told me not to. It ain't time yet. It ain't time yet. It's something very important that I got to get to. Look at verse 7. So So we see the sheepfold as a point. If you're writing, taking notes, I got like 40s, I think. I already covered this one. Jesus has a place of safety for his people. He has a place of safety for you. He has a place of safety. I'm not just talking about physical harm. In 2019, especially in the United States of America, our greatest issue is not physical harm, it's mental, emotional. Spiritual is all will always be, but for a Christian, we're already saved, so for us it's mental and emotional. He has a place of safety for you, no matter what's going on. Jesus has provided access to his presence, because this place of safety is his presence. See, it's his presence. So you go back, you look, you see this in your mind. This is the image. It was created by the shepherd to protect the sheep from robbers and from wild beasts and from thieves. And then they even made some of these like around mountains, like so that when weather came, like he would create these things. And he, man, shepherds were awesome. And so God created this place for you, not only in heaven, but here on earth. And it's in his presence. So Satan, the thief, the robber, the wolf, his number one thing is to get you out of his presence. Because when you're inside of his presence, when you're inside of the sheepfold, you're protected. So I want to get you out of, he wants to get you out of his presence. So God has created this place for you. He's provided access. That was the whole. So look at verse 7 now. Look at verse 7. And then Jesus says to them again, amen, amen. You say, well, mine says most assuredly. In the Greek it says, amen, amen. I say to you, I am the door. Ooh, when I read this to my wife a couple weeks ago, I heard his voice. I heard it. I didn't even know what he was saying he was the door to at this point in time. All I knew was Jesus said, I am the door. And I felt something inside of me. I was like, ooh, whatever it is, I want to go through that door so I can get to it because I know he's a good shepherd. I know he is. God is a good shepherd. He says, verse 7 again, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Pharisees are around them right now. Remember those Pharisees who weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing? Jesus said, I'm the one. I told y'all back in Ezekiel that I was coming, and I'm here now. And I am the one, and I'm sitting at the door. Matter of fact, not only am I sitting at the door, I am the door. A door is an access point from one place into another, because there is a division between those who are awake and those who are asleep, between those who can see and those who can't see, between those who are alive and those who are dead. And there's an access point between those two, and Jesus is the way. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Tongue of salvation. And we'll go in and out and find pasture. You can't stay in the presence of God all the time. I know you want. I tried it already. I've tried it multiple times. I've tried it. The thing is, everyone in the Bible, when they come into the presence of God in the flesh, right, they usually either drop down to the ground like they're dead. They're blinded by the light. You know, and then for me, when I get in, you know, when you worship it and you like literally feel the presence of God, like some days I just want to stay there forever. I wouldn't get anything done if I stayed in the presence of God all day, right? But God says, because of me, because I've given you access, you'll be able to go in and out. Aaron, when you leave, you still have access. Even though I might have to get on out of here, boy. God is giving you access to a place of safety. He's on his journey. He's beginning his journey of realizing that he's a sinner and that God is the way, the truth, and the life. He's on his way. Young ladies, you're on your way. You're on your journey. You already started it. You already placed your faith in him, right? Being baptized is a big thing. It's important, but it is not the thing. The thing is that you believe in Jesus. Your heart is already there. Do you know the Son of God? You ain't got to even answer. It's just a rhetorical question. Do you know the Son of God? Because if you don't, he's here. He's here today. He is. Do you see, you know, yourself in light of God's holiness? Do you see where you stand? Do you have an experience of like this intimacy in that you know that you know that you know that God is who he says he is? Because if you don't, that's okay. It's an opportunity. Because even if you have a question about whether it's real or not, God is drawing you in. Even the question, because like the Pharisees, they just like, ah. Even if you have that question, Jesus says, you will be saved, you will go in and out, and you will find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Verse 10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the light of the world. He shows you the way. He shows you the way. He illuminates all circumstances. He's created a place for you to rest. He's created a place for you to be in His presence. Like, Andre, I don't experience these things. I'm just here to reveal to you that they actually exist today. When I came in here, Mike was like, how you doing? I was there. It may not seem like I was there, but I had to pull myself out of there because I was in my own little place, and now I had to come and deliver this message. And then when I leave here, I'm going to go back to the presence. It says, I am the good shepherd. Not only did He prepare a place, He's going to show you the way. He's given us the Holy Spirit to guide us and make sure. And as we close this thing out, I want to take you to Psalm 23. We're going to close there. I know it was a long time. Normally I'd apologize, but I don't want to apologize because all of this stuff is important. We got to spend more time in the Word. I've been spending a lot more time in the Word, and it makes the difference is night and day. You know, in my health, in my relationships, in my understanding, in my productivity, in all ways and facets. We make time for everything else. We got to make time for the Word. Psalm 23. I love this psalm from David because David was an actual shepherd. He was a real shepherd before he became king. Before he was the second king of Israel. Before he became a mighty warrior, God allowed him to experience what it means to be a shepherd. And this is what he said. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Pastures are where you get fed at. Church is one of those pastures. Your time, your Bible study is one of those pastures. Your time of worship is one of those pastures. He is leading you to those places. The question is He having to force you there, or are you going there on your own? He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You know, I was listening to another preacher talk about Psalm 23 a couple weeks ago. And I used to think right here when it talked about a rod and a staff that like shepherds would like use the staff to like correct and discipline. But like I had a preacher, you know, that was like, no, that's not what it is. Because sheep aren't, they go astray, but they're not, they don't need to be disciplined in that way. The only time that he would use the rod was when the sheep was about to move into danger, and he would guide them away from that danger. So sometimes if you feel like a rod is being used, and you know, in your current circumstances, God is maybe guiding you away from something that may not be for you. But then he also said it's a staff. And for me, being a martial artist, sorry, Fairhaven, I'm a martial artist. You know, staffs are weapons. And so it says, yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for You are with me. They're in the shadow of death. This staff is what God uses to defeat your enemies. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. If you go back to John 10 and read it tonight, it says it. He said, I lay my life down for the sheep. Verse 5, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Sometimes we want our enemies removed, don't we? Don't we want our enemies removed? Be those enemies inside our mind, be they enemies at work, be they laying right next to us, we want our enemies removed, yes. But God said, I will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, that You see us. We thank you that you see us. We thank you that you light the way for us to go, that you are that light. We thank you, God, that no matter what the circumstances are, that we know that you have everything in your control, because, God, you are the author and the finisher of our faith. You're guiding us in every direction that we need to go. We know that you love us. Bless us as we leave this place, God, but never from your presence. Teach us what it means to enter into your presence, God. For those who don't know you, I pray, God, that they listen to those pricks in their heart. That they search what has been created to come to the divine revelation that you are who you say you are. And I pray that you would put someone in their place who is bold enough to profess and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray specifically for Belhaven, for Fairhaven. I lift up every individual here today. You know the specific things that they're going through. You know the specific needs that are in this place today. I pray that just as you showed yourself strong and powerful in the life of that poor blind man, that you would, Lord God, meet them in a tangible way, that you would manifest your power, that you would reveal your majesty, Lord, in them. Lord, dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. Teach us what it means to walk with you. Teach us to hear your voice more clearly. And Lord, give us the courage to obey it. God, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.